Hello, everybody, and we welcome you to this week's edition of Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast here on Scoops with DannyMac.com. I'm Jim Powers, and had a lot of fun catching up with a lot of our football coaches over the last bunch of weeks, but with a lot of stuff going on, we're switching gears, and we're going to get into some of our other fall sports and some great, great performances that we've seen in the early year, and one of them is the Ursuline girls volleyball team, and off to a 4-1 start, knocked off the defending Class 3 state champs last week in Westminster. And a very familiar name in the volleyball ranks coaching them this year, it's Jeff Cheek, the girls coach at Ursuline. Also, we talked to Jeff a lot about the Junior Bills boys volleyball team. But, you know, Jeff, what a great start for you guys, and especially the victory over Westminster last week.
Yeah, hey, Jim, thanks for having me on again. Absolutely. It was one of those wins from a program that I know has struggled a little bit over the last couple of years to be able to compete with, you know, the caliber of Westminster. I thought it was really good for our confidence at the beginning of the year, right? Like you're playing against one of the top teams in the state. They're extremely well coached. I thought they showed how and why they won a state title last year. And I love the way our girls battled every single point throughout that whole match. So it was a fun one.
You know, talk a little bit about just the change, because I know what it was when I coached. You know, I would go right from football over to girls basketball. For you, coaching boys volleyball and now making the move over to girls basketball, kind of talk about the transition for you as a head coach between, you know, the high-flying power game of the guys and the more of a finesse game for the girls.
Yeah, I realize it takes a lot more energy out of me because these rallies go on forever, and you kind of stress out during some of those points because it is such a fun, long rally, and some of the defense you see on this girls game is amazing to see. You know, I did a lot of studying around and listening to some podcasts about the difference. And, you know, there, I think there's a lot more similarities between the boys and the girls. I mean, you have athletes who hate to lose and want to get on the court and compete and ultimately want to be there as a one team type of mentality. So I was lucky the girls program and the girls that are in this program have a great mentality. So I think a lot of it is more probably me adapting more so than them, you know, understanding kind of the difference between, I would say sometimes I always preach be aggressive. So I think that's probably a little bit of adjustment for them. You know, I have the nothing hits the floor and we're going to compete and we're going to work hard one point at a time and see what happens. But I mean, again, I can't brag enough about the group of girls that I got to walk in with and how well they're competing in the practice gym and in each one of the matches.
No doubt about it. You've got some terrific kids. And I think Sophie Micah is just an unbelievable young lady for you. What a great match she had against Westminster. But she's had a terrific year to start things off for you guys already when you look at her stat line.
For sure. Sophie is, well, I knew a little bit about her going into the job and, you know, heard a lot of coaches say some really nice things about her skill, but also her intangibles. And she does. She's an ultimate competitor. She's our captain this year. And I've already said that she's probably one of my favorite captains that I've had just with how hard she sets a tone in a practice. And we put a lot on her. We have her attack. We have her set. We have her really trying to lead this team. And she does an exceptional job. The Westminster game is, I still think, the tip of the iceberg of what we'll see by the end of the year. She's a special talent. We're lucky to have her as part of the program.
But you know what, though? She's just not doing it kill-wise. She's also leading you guys at assist. And you don't normally see that, you know, when you look at a stat line. You know, normally you have a couple that are big swingers on the outside. Then you've got a couple others that can distribute the ball. But she is one of those rare kids to where you can line her up outside off the pin, but then she can step back inside and make some passes to get some assists to help the others out.
Yeah, she's all around a great athlete and great volleyball player. And, you know, I think where you're going is 100% right. Like, you almost see the mentality, right? Like, it's hard if you're struggling one of the skills to be able to stay focused and do two other skills like serve, receive, and setting if your attacking's not quite there or to interchange any of those. And I think that's the piece that when you watch Sophie impresses our coaching staff more than anything else is she is so focused and really succeeds in each one of those skills. And like you said, you don't see that often. You know, you don't see somebody who's leading the team in kills and assists, and her defense is top notch as well. And I think we'll see those stats by the end of the year be pretty high as well.
Absolutely. And then, you know, joining her on the outside, Julia Ratterman, and then you got Elizabeth Koning. that is right behind Sophie in assists. Talk about those two and just that dynamic between those three players for you guys.
Yeah, we put a lot. We have, of the 34 players in our program, we have 24 freshmen. And Elizabeth and Jillian are two of those top freshmen who are seeing the court a lot right now. And they also have a really strong mental approach. Elizabeth's a lot like Sophie. So she sets in club. She does an attack in club, but we ask her to do both for us and has stepped up. I mean, we're extremely impressed with how quickly she is picking up multiple aspects. I think she led our team in digs against Westminster, which, you know, is a credit to her just with her focus to what she's doing. And Jillian's also a special talent. I mean, her attacking for a freshman is pretty impressive. I mean, she's physical. She has a lot of really nice shots if the ball's not the right position. And she kind of approaches it where we knew Westminster and a couple other teams are going to serve her a lot, right? You're going to go challenge the freshman and serve receive, and let's see how mentally resilient they are. And she has stepped up time and time again. And, you know, the piece that I probably haven't bragged enough on all three of them, as well as everybody else in the gym, is how great a teammates they are. You know, they have great volleyball skills, but they celebrate as loud for everybody else's celebrations or kills or digs than their own. So we're spoiled to have a pretty special group.
No doubt about it. And schedule wise, Jeff, you know, we talk about, you know, on the boys volleyball side, we always talk about the MCC and how strong it is. But then you flip the coin and you look on the girls side, how strong the MY is. You know, you've got, you know, Ed doing great things over at Narek's. You've got Incarnate Word with Shea and that crew. I mean, St. Joe's has got a great team again this year. I don't know. I don't think there's, you know, a lot of separation between what you saw on the boys side, competition side, and to the girls side.
No, and I think you just named some of the top programs that hopefully one day we can maybe be in that conversation a little bit more consistently than we have in the past. And I look at the programs that you just named and the coaches you just named, and you're right. Like, there's nothing more fun, right? When you go into the majority of your schedule and you're playing some of these top teams and you get to watch some of these top talent, top coaches day in, day out, it's only going to make our program better because that's what we're achieving to be. And we want to play in that fast-paced game, right? Like the matchups with Westminster, with St. Joe's, with Koryezu, however the outcome is, it's going to be good for our girls to see that level of play so that then on the way to playoffs, we hope then, you know, we're mentally and physically in the best spot possible for us to have remotely some of the success that they've had as well.
No doubt about it. And, you know, and I know you could speak on this because I know, you know, okay, first year coaching girls, but you've had a chance to see it from the outside. We talked a lot about how boys volleyball is moving forward and progressing, but I think St. Louis, the talent level and the girls volleyball side has just been unbelievable for the last bunch of years. And we've seen it in the state championships when you see Narek's making consistent runs, you see Westminster, St. Dominic, you know, even down in Jefferson County, you look at what Pius is doing and what Jefferson R7's doing. I just think girls volleyball is something that not a lot of people know about, but I think they need to figure it out really quick because it's just an unbelievable group of athletes that we've seen over the last bunch of years.
Yeah, well, perfectly summed up. And I've always been a fan of the girls' side. I think there's always been some really good talent. But similar to what you're saying, it's amazing when you walk into these gyms and you see the level of play. And it's some schools, I mean, I know you named a bunch. There's some even schools that we don't even recognize yet. And you walk in the gym and you're just like, holy cow. Like, this is some amazing volleyball being played. And when, you know, selfishly being on the boys' side or the girls' side, just seeing that growth for the sport. And then I think what you see is how many parents and fans that you talk to, all of a sudden they're like, holy cow, volleyball is completely different than what I thought it was. You know, they kind of always have this stigma that it's just, they're lobbing the ball back and forth. There's not this power and this kind of symmetry that has to go on when you're playing. And on the girl side, I think the other thing that's extremely impressive, like you said, are the pure numbers and the level of play across those numbers. And I can't wait, like 5 to 10 years from now, I think it's going to be at a whole new level than what even probably you and I can even imagine.
And the big thing too, is you're seeing kids getting, you know, recruited by big time. And I mean, big time programs. I mean, we saw it with Gabby Blossom and the terrific job she did at Penn State, now using her COVID year out at San Diego. and some of those other kids. And once again, we didn't see the recruiting stops here in St. Louis, you know, over the last, you know, 7-8 years. And I think a lot of that direct correlation has to do with the level of play, the coaching, the club level. I mean, you look at, you know, what Rockwood's doing, what HP does, and a few of those other organizations, they're really preparing our kids to be successful at the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, I know I always kind of shout you out for publicizing where the sport is going. And I think you're exactly right. I mean, what the clubs are doing, kind of bringing that competitiveness across the whole sport, that raises everybody, right? It's not just, hey, there's a single focus with one group of good kids. It's this huge pool of amazing talent. And you see, like, you know, selfishly Anna Bear from Ursuline, you know, and her amazing success that she's had. And you're seeing the Old Misses and the Stanfords and these schools that are recruiting out of St. Louis. And that kind of goes back to your point and what I was saying a little bit ago. I can't wait for 5 to 10 years down the road. You see some of these seventh, eighth grade, these freshmen, you know, there's, I think it's Bennett Ratterman. It's probably who you were thinking of on the St. Pius side, right? I mean, there's some good young talent, and it's hopefully these junior seniors and these girls that are in college understand that they had as big of an impact to grow the sport, because they got to see, holy cow, they went to what school? Okay, let's work hard, because now that's my goal, right? You raise the bar and kind of challenge these younger athletes to then raise that bar that they set. And that's why it's been great to watch. I mean, St. Louis volleyball has come so far just, you know, in a very short time, in my opinion. And I think starting to be recognized is a much bigger hub for volleyball than even 5 years ago.
No doubt. And one quick thing, I want to flip to the boys' side real quick. We're a year away, it seems like. It's the vote is coming in, you know, January, February, for the boys to, you know, to be MSHA sanctioned and recognized. How exciting is that piece? And I know it's something, you know, I was with you guys at the beginning when starting to put all this stuff together. And now it seems we're really, really close to this being flourishing, and our guys in the volleyball scene having the capability of being recognized by MSHA and playing for a state championship.
Yeah, it's a bit surreal, right? I mean, for old guys, you know, it's when I started in 99, right? It seemed like it would be great. We want to do it. That's our goal. And the amount of people that have come through that have got the sport to where it's at, to be able to have this conversation that we're a year out, I didn't think would ever happen while I was coaching. You know, I think it is going to be talk about the growth of the game, right? There'll be speed bumps as we're trying to learn and adapt to some of the new rules and that type of stuff. But ultimately, this is going to be amazing for boys volleyball. I think it's probably 10 years away from having a huge impact. But when you see teams from Kansas City and Columbia and Blue Springs or wherever they're going to start kind of sprouting from, again, after those parents and kids get in the gym to watch boys volleyball and kind of get the stigma out of their head of what they think it is, I think you're going to see another huge growth spurt on the boys side. And like you said, I'm shocked that it's finally done. Well, not finally done, but almost done.
We're almost to the finish line with it. Almost right, there.
Right. Don't want to jinx it. Knock on some wood. But yeah, no, it's been an amazing journey. And, you know, I hope the people that put in a lot of the early work to have the conversations at some point gets recognized, because the list is long and they put in hours that nobody will know about, so that boys are now to the place that we might finally cross that finish line.
No doubt. And Jeff, I know it may be a little too early to ask you how much fun you're having with the girls at Ursuline, but how much fun are you having with the girls at Ursuline?
It's a blast. You know, I didn't know how they would respond to my style. I didn't know how I would respond to their style, quite honestly, right? Like, it's new. It's an absolute blast going in that gym every day. The kids are buying into, you know, our crazy coaching style of have a lot of fun, work really hard. And I mean, each one of the kids in the gym, and I'm talking our freshmen all the way through our seniors of all levels of programs, are beyond what I could have hoped for walking in day one. But I think if you ask me or the coaching staff, the have fun component of it, we are having way too much fun. We're working hard in the gym, and it's just, it's way beyond what I could have even expected. And that, am I having fun? It's way past. I come home and I don't think I shut up, and I keep talking to my wife about, we need to do this and this and this, but it's so energetic and the girls are so receptive and coachable that it makes coaching pretty easy.
Well, I appreciate the time. It's always great catching up with you. I didn't think we'd be catching up this early. I was kind of waiting to the spring, but you know, with the job you guys are doing over at Ursuline and the great start to the season, can't wish you guys nothing but the best of luck and continue to have fun. And I know we'll definitely catch up throughout the year.
Jim, I truly appreciate it and appreciate all you guys do to support all the high school sports, selfishly volleyball. But at the end of the day, I really do appreciate it, because that's a huge component of why we're getting to where we are, is the work that you and others are doing to help publicize it. So, you know, appreciate it again.
No problem. Jeff Cheek, the head coach at Ursuline, joins us. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversations with some of the outstanding coaches here in the area. It's Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast, right here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. And we welcome you back to Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. Great catching up with Ursuline volleyball coach Jeff Cheek in our first segment. You know, great job by the Bears in starting their season. And now we go back to the football field, and a team that had an unbelievable year last year fell a little bit short of their goals. But I think that has really spearheaded them to a 3-0 start this season. It's the Rams up at MICDS, and joining us is their head coach, Dr. Fred Bouchard. And you know, Coach, congratulations on a great start to the season. You know, it's been a great couple of years for the Rams. Talk a little bit about the kids. Talk a little bit about the early part of the season for you guys.
Hey, thanks for having us on and getting to represent MICDS and MICDS Rams football. Jim, really appreciate it. You know what? It's been a really good start to our season. And every time you enter, you kind of wonder if, you know, who's going to step into the new roles. And you can kind of anticipate it as a coach and as – Coach Bob Shore, who's a legendary coach in Camden tonight, I was assistant for Bob for 3 years. He used to say, it's not really who you lose, it's who you have to replace the guys that you lose. So we lose a four-year starter in Reagan Andrew and a great set of receivers in PJ Behan and Oliver Rohan and there's some key pieces on defense like Bjorn Sjogren and Gus Bache and Jack Hayes. And so it's really finding the guys who fit that. But fortunately, our depth has kind of come up a little bit. Now, Winston Moore has jumped in at quarterback to replace the four-year starter, Reagan Andrew. And then when we want to be more versatile, we move Winston out. And he gets to play back at his old spot as a running back / receiver slot. And he gets to be that Swiss Army knife we have. And Brian Gould, who's really, really developed. He was a sophomore. He was Reagan's backup a year ago. He's really done a really good job stepping into those varsity reps and playing outstanding. And then we can use Winston in other ways.
You know, schedule wise, and I know you being from the western part of the state so many years, you know, out at Staley, you know, open it up with Harrisonville, who's a perennial power. And I know you remember some of the unbelievable matchups that Harrisonville and MICDS had back in the, you know, early 2000s. And then, you know, Chaminade, Westminster, you know, and then you get Lutheran North in conference later on. You guys don't shy away from anybody schedule wise, and especially picking up some of those games is, and I know that's kind of been your philosophy over the years, is we want to play some of the best to get us ready for the playoffs.
I think you have to make sure you challenge yourself early on. And, you know, Chaminade is a bigger school. It's kind of funny. I mean, they're like 800 yards from our campus, the edge of our campus down there. But we haven't had like a long history of playing. We played last year. They had a really outstanding team a year ago. And we did manage to win that game a year ago. But I know we played really well. And so we knew playing them early kind of gets us ready. I think they're a team that you really probably would rather play early, because I think as they get things going, Antoine does a nice job kind of building it. I think there'll be a handful for some folks down the road. But we end up in the same district as they are. So playing Harrisonville was really unique, because I coached there and coached against Ron Holtman and Matt Irvin in those state title games. It's kind of a funny history that MICDS and Harrisonville have played four times in their history. They're 2-2 against one another before we played this year. And they were only for state championship games. It was 83, 04, 05, and 07. So right now MICDS is 3-2 in that series, because we won the season opener this year. But Coach Maxwell will get that thing going, and he's an excellent coach and a former assistant. So that was fun to make the trip. And, you know, we really haven't had a chance to do that in football. It's not kind of go on a longer trip and play a team that's, you know, 230, 40 miles away. But I think that's always good preparation also for some of the postseason things that you may play, because, you know, there's a chance in postseason, you know, if we can, you know, a district's obviously going to be pretty geographically located, but Jackson could be a possible quarterfinal opponent. And then it's actually across the state into North Kansas City and Oak Park. And some of those schools would be a semifinal. And that's me looking way ahead. I mean, we've got such a rugged district that, but whoever comes out of our district, that's kind of their pathway. So maybe having some experience going on the road a little bit and what that feels like will pay dividends down the road.
Yeah, and you know, when the new classifications came out, you know, you guys bumped up to 5. I think some people anticipated that could happen. But you know, when you look at your schedule, and once again, you just mentioned it, you get Chaminade in your district, you get Ladue in your district. I've said right from the get-go when the classifications came out that if you win Class 5 this year, you may very well be the best football team in the state of Missouri just because of the talent level and the teams that are in Class 5 this year.
You bet. And Jackson, you know, 2 years ago, Jackson, I think, was hands down the best football team in the state in Class 5. And there's every so often, there's just years, whoever is Class 5 could be quite capable of beating the Class 6. But Jackson in 2020, the COVID year, was, I mean, they just absolutely were demolishing folks. And I think it would have been a tall order for even the Class 6 finalists in that year. And you know, usually I tip my hat off to Class 6. I think last year, Class 6, CBC was the best team in the state. Like they proved they went through that. I don't know if the Class 5 or, as a matter of fact, I thought in Class 4, Smithville was a team that was capable of competing at the Class 5 just a year ago. But it and maybe playing on that upper end. But I think this year it's sometimes that just ebbs and flows. And we also have, you know, Lafayette, Chaminade, yeah, Eureka that is on our district. So I would think our Class 5 district is about as challenging as anyone's out there.
Oh, I flat out said, Coach, that you know, in soccer in the World Cup, they could have the group of death, so to say. This district that you guys are in is probably the toughest district in the state. And I kind of nonchalantly said, yeah, that's a district of death right now in Class 5 in the state of Missouri, because there's just so many really, really talented teams, some great coaching. And that's what makes it a lot of fun, I think, not only for, you know, us covering, but I think for the coaches and the kids, because you know what you have ahead of you, and it's going to be a lot of fun to compete in those high level games.
And I certainly don't want to count out, but Parkway West, Coach Duncan does a great job, Coach Beauchamp at Parkway South. So like top to bottom, the district with Chaminade and us in there is also, I just think there's not an easy matchup. We're really buying for who can get the number one seed in that and maybe buy themselves out 1 week. So they're playing, you know, through the course of that, they have a tough district semifinal, a tough final. But if you've got to play 3 games in there, they're all tough. And I think that's one of the differences in Class 4 and Class 3 and Class 5 is that when you get to Class 5, you rarely just don't get to, you're going to be challenged in the district at a pretty high level. And in the last 2 years in district play for Class 4, although we looked at it and we saw there's some challenges there, we ended up fending those off pretty well and winning by pretty prominent scores. I just don't see that in a Class 5 headway, that those will be battles. I mean, and those are the kind of games that the full 48 minutes or beyond that you have to show up and play.
You talked about some of your guys, and you know, Winston Moore, I mean, obviously stepping into those huge shoes that Reagan left behind with the career that he had for the Rams. But I really like watching him play in the early season here. He's really, you know, filled those shoes very well and just doing a lot of things. And the biggest thing that jumps out to me is he's not trying to overcompensate. He's staying within what his game is all about and with what you guys are doing offensively. And I think that's made him a better quarterback and an even better leader in staying within himself and not trying to overcompensate.
You bet. He's really just been a great answer in those settings. And it's not like he doesn't have a tremendous skill set. Like if I say, hey, just go to your strengths, they're enormous. Like he is one of the fastest players in our state, or fastest kids. I mean, he's a medalist in the state track meet in the 100 meter. And he's got tremendous stop when colleges evaluate him, they talk about his hips and his ability to do that. And then we also have Steve Hall, who's an all-state running back for us as a sophomore and then as a junior or first team player. And this is the thing that we just, you know, they don't get enough shout out is up front.
Oh yeah.
That, you know, and we still spend time in a lot of double tight. We use 2 tight ends, sometimes even 3 tight ends in our sets. we're one of those old school teams that does that. And I have, you know, of the seven that would be tight end to tight end, counting tackles, guard, and center, six of those guys, you know, were starters a year ago, and the newbie is a freshman outlier who's just an unbelievable player and been able to step in and provide a really excellent play there. So that's those are a year older, a year stronger, a year more developed, a year more clear in their understanding. So it's the guys up front do a great job. I really like what we're doing on defense too. We've just been a hard team to consistently move the ball against. And we know a team like Chaminade's going to have some really good athletes that they can spread the ball around, and they've got people that can do some stuff. And I just thought our guys did a really good job. And it was a 42-7 game, and they ended up scoring a couple late touchdowns, maybe against some of our younger guys as we subbed out. But I was really pleased with our performance.
Yeah, I was going to jump to the defensive side. Well, first off, I know you're never going to go away from that Texas set offensively with the double tights and just, you know, we're going to punch you in the mouth and figure out a way to stop us. But I know you're a defensive guy. I know you love hanging your hat on the defensive part of the ball. And, you know, when you look at Courtland Dalton already on the season, what a great leader he is for you guys on the defensive part of the ball.
We joke about Courtland being like the guy in the Matrix. Like, there are times he gets through, and it's kind of like the guy avoiding the bullets that are coming at him. But contorting himself in ways and then still keeping his balance. Like, he is such a tremendous football player. And then up front, you know, Devin Rogers and Luke Allgaier, you know, I would challenge about anybody. Just Devin is just, he's so good with his hands. He is 6'5". He's 330 pounds, and he's down there. So his agility has really improved. His stamina, he gives us a good 45, 50 plays a game. And Luke Allgaier, I think, is the best sophomore in our state for alignment, offensive or defensive lineman. He's 6'6", 265, and he's just a man in there. And we get to see him every day in the weight room. But that group has been good. Cam Lester is a corner that is just really hard to throw the ball against, and Tyler Peterson organizes it on the backside really well. So we feel like, you know, when Carter Enyard and Dorian Reddick, just there's a good mix of young and old, and where the people goes back to what I said, those it's who you have to replace them with. We lose a Gus Bates, Adrian Ritchie's as a sophomore who was playing a little bit as a freshman year ago, is able to step in and fill that really important role.
You know, this year, and talking to a lot of coaches during the summer and here in the first couple of weeks, it seems like everybody has been so happy that this past summer we were able to finally do some stuff that we haven't been able to do for, you know, the last couple of years because of protocols and all that kind of stuff. Were you guys the same way? I mean, were you guys, it was good to finally be able to get to some camps and get to where you could have everybody on the field for 7-on-7s and different things like that? Because the last couple of years, we really haven't been able to do that. But the other part of this too is, I think the level of play on the football field has just absolutely skyrocketed over the last couple of years. And I think a lot of the kids have realized that you don't really appreciate something until it's almost taken away from you. Or in some instances, for the kids that played spring sports a few years ago, it was taken away from them.
Yeah, I think it's that appreciation is kind of fun. And it's funny because I think we really had a sense of that a year ago. And yeah, this summer was fun. We got to go to a team camp. We kind of went out of town, and we have our a traditional live-in that actually Coach Holtman started years ago. It might have even gone under Pop Hughes, and we were here for a few days, and kind of our kids all move into our facilities, and that's good that we get to stay together and kind of live together during that time. We go to a few 7-on-7s, but we're not a 7-on-7 tournament team. That's not, you know, as soon as you take the contact out of football, I kind of feel like let's get some good work there. But if that's our emphasis to be awesome at 7-on-7, we may be missing the point. Now, when we compete, we want to compete. Scores being kept, we're competitive people, but, we probably don't feel like that's a, and it's also not necessarily a big part of our game plan. Like we're really a play action football team, and you know, people aren't buying play action in 7-on-7. The linebackers are dropping hard, and they're not accepting that. So that's a part that we kind of talked to our guys about. So I think we got out three different evenings during the course of the year, and appreciate getting over to SLU and over to Fort Zumwalt. We had a great event planned at the end with Vianney and a few other schools are going to be in there, but it was the downpour, lightning, everything. So that ended up being canceled and not being able to make it up because it was right there at the end of the summer. So we had another thing scheduled with CBC, and then we had this kind of same thing. So appreciate being able to reach out with folks around, and that's great competition. You know, we did a dual practice with CBC a year ago, and I just remember thinking, we won't play a team that is just this talented, this versatile, this big, this much depth in our regular season. Like, that was you could see that they were a really dominant team.
You know, Coach, you've been around the block for many, many years, you know, on the western part of the state, then coming over here to this part of the state. You know, in my years of covering, you know, high school football, you know, over the last 5 to 7 years, it just seems like the talent has absolutely exploded, just not here in St. Louis, but I think across the state. You know, when I first started covering, you know, you would get a handful of kids that were getting D1 offers. Now you're getting a handful of kids on teams, you know, getting D1 offers. And St. Louis has turned into a must stop for, you know, the major Division I schools. What have you seen from the coaching side of it that, you know, has shown that, hey, our talent level has really exploded over the last 5 to 7 years?
I think it's a fascinating deal that's going on, and maybe it's a St. Louis deal. I remember, you know, our state title team in Staley in 2011, we were really good, and we had a number of teams, kids who went and played NAI football or Division II football, but we only had on that team three Division I kids, and we currently have three kids with offers in our senior class from MICDS, and then we feel like there's one or two others that may actually maybe into the FCS categories. They already have Division II offers. And then we got young guys, like I had mentioned, Luke Allgaier and Cam Cooper and Miles Coleman. We just got some young guys who are in that, Carter Enyer, who are in that same boat. Davis Shukar is an offensive lineman who I think will attract some. He'll definitely attract some, I think, Ivy League offers, because our kids are, well, they're a lot smarter than their coach. Let me tell you, I'm pretty well educated. I got a few degrees, but I didn't score what they scored on some of the standardized tests. So my two tackles are 35s on their ACTs. Like, that's, you know, I tell them one thing once, and I'm sure they're like, boy, we've really dumbed this down. Oh, Coach Bouchard has made this. And I'm like, well, that's the only way I can make it. So, so our kids really, that part of it's really cool. And I think it's made St. Louis that destination place where folks were. I've seen folks here that I never saw over in Kansas City when we had dudes going to Stanford and Mizzou and offered by, you know, dozens of people around the country, or at Harrisonville where we went through a pretty good stretch of kids. Like, I'm astonished at the, and part of it is the proximity maybe to the MAC conference. We get a lot more MAC schools here than we did over in St. Louis. You know, in St. Louis there were a couple MAC schools that would show their head over there. It's really nice that over here, and I appreciate guys, Adam Cruz over at SLU, yeah. You know, everybody's going to go see Ryan Wingo, and we played them last year and we're fortunate to come back and beat them in the season opener. And as people are going through, he's telling them, like, you know, they always ask, where else should I go? He's like, if you're not going over here, you're missing, because they've got some guys. And so I really appreciate other coaches that are sending people over to try to make sure that St. Louis continues to be recruited.
Well, I will tell you this, you are pretty smart if you've got that doctor in front of your name. So that means you're doing something right. It's something I don't have. So, you know, but many years of coaching, you know, with Bob down at Camdenton, your years out at Harrisonville, then Staley, then now MICDS, you look like you're still having a blast. You look like you're still having so much fun with the guys and teaching and educating them. Is that pretty much spot on, that you're still, you know, after so many years of being a head coach, you're still just having a blast coaching these guys?
It really is fun. And Jim, I'd stepped out for 4 years as I was assistant superintendent of schools. And I was pretty good for my retirement purposes there for Missouri Public Schools. And then went over to Illinois. And I got to tell you, that's if I don't enjoy every day, because there's been some days during COVID that superintendents and assistant supes and the people in those roles have just they've had their teeth kicked in. And there's one thing to get your teeth kicked in on a Friday night in a game where young people are out there representing. There's a whole other thing where a whole community is up in arms and you can't win. Like there's a group during that COVID time where they would say, you know, if you did this, you were wrong. And if you did this, you were wrong. And man, so yeah, am I having more? I think I'm having a lot more fun than superintendents. And so I was on that path, and I'll always be forever thankful for Josh Smith calling and say, hey, have you ever thought about getting back in? Because there may be an opportunity here. And so yeah, it has been fun. And it's been fun to even just get back in the classroom. And I teach a few classes. I teach in the middle school here, but it's fun to work with young people. They just energize things. So if you said, hey, it looks like you're having fun. Absolutely. This is a lot of fun. And we hope we always represent and work hard for the people we have. And we know that part of the gig is we want to go out there and try to make sure that, you know, our goal is try to win every game, obviously. And that hasn't always been the case. We've lost two since I've been here, both to undefeated state championship teams in, you know, lead ups to that's one. I wish I was a little better coach, because we'd probably have two state titles if I was just a little better at my own craft or at the moment. But those kind of moments keep driving us, and, you know, try to make sure we give kids just nice mountaintop experiences.
Outstanding. Well, Fred, it's always great talking to you. You know, followed you for so many years over at Staley in Harrisonville, and now the great things you're doing here at MICDS. Keep doing what you're doing, and I know we'll definitely be catching up throughout the school year here, but thanks so much for the time today.
Thanks, Jim. It's always great. Thanks for what you do for high school sports around the city. We really appreciate you guys who keep this front and center and give, you know, just give our kids and give families things to connect with. So thanks a bunch for what you do.
No doubt about it, buddy. Thanks so much. Good luck this week.
Take care.
Fred Bouchard, the head coach at MICDS, joins us, and we want to thank him. We want to thank Jeff Cheek. Once again, next week, we continue to catch up with the great coaches around the area as we are in the midst of a full fall schedule and a lot of great things going on around the metro area. This has been Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast with myself, Jim Powers, on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.